I'm Michael Max. This is Geological. And today is a rovering podcast. I happen to be in the Bay Area today, shortly after the Chinese New Year. I'm at Meiwei Herbs, going to have a discussion with Sky Sturgeon about cooking methods for Chinese herbs. Now, y'all can't see it because we're here on a podcast, but in front of me, there are four different devices. We've got the classic Chinese clay pot. We've got a pressure cooker. We've got a slow cooker, and we've got a gizmo that looks like it's Korean. We're going to have Sky tell us a bit about that here in just a moment. Today, I'm with Sky Sturgeon at Meiwei Herbs, and we are going to be discussing cooking methods about herbs, and we're actually going to be tasting some a bit later. Sky, lovely to have you here on Geological. Tell us a little bit about what brought you to being such an herb alchemist.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here. I was formerly, in a former life, a biochemist and a toxicologist, and I'm also a pretty accomplished cook. So those two things in my background have played right into what I'm doing now. I've been an acupuncturist for 25 years, and I've held a lot of positions at various colleges, and I've been the quality assurance manager here at Meiwei for the last 8.5 years. My desire to figure out things about cooking Chinese herbs in different ways comes from the fact that many patients don't like to cook the herbs. And I have a firm belief that it's the best way to extract from the herbs the medicine that is inside of them. So I've done this experiment over many years, and I've come to enjoy presenting this to a group of acupuncturists, comparing the classic way of boiling herbs, what they teach you in school, and then using a pressure cooker, which interestingly is pretty much how they do the extractions in production facilities in China. They use a giant pressurized system with a temperature gradient. I have here a slow cooker, which to me is more like the ancient way of producing a Chinese herb formula. You'd set a pot next to the fire and you just let it simmer for a while, and then eventually you would pour the liquid off and you'd have your herbs. And then the final one there is actually a percolator. It is a Korean appliance, and it percolates the herbs using electricity. It's like a coffee percolator, just like keeps putting the liquid over the top of the herbs over and over again until the timer goes off, and then you have a product finished.
So you sound a little bit like the author of the Tang Ye Jing. Lately, there's been some talk about the Tang Ye Jing, and that the author of that book was not so much an herbalist, but a cook, a very high-level cook. And because this guy was such a high-level cook and really understood what food did, noticed what it did in our physiology, a lot of the herbal medicine came out of that. But yeah, starting off as a cook. I mean, it makes sense when we think about it that the way that we cook and prepare something is going to have a big influence on how it tastes and what it does in the body. I mean, just think about good pizza versus bad pizza.
Well, exactly true. I first got my deep experience in cooking. I was a macrobiotic back in the early 80s and took a lot of macrobiotic cooking.
Was that required for acupuncturists in the 80s? I've talked to so many people in our profession who started with that kind of a thing.
I don't know if it's required, but it certainly opened my mind to Chinese medicine. Macrobiotics was supposedly based on Chinese medicine, and one of the mottos of the company I worked for was food is medicine. So we learned about how to use food to keep healthy, but also to treat various kinds of conditions that people would commonly encounter.
So we have these four methods here. Now, when I was in acupuncture school, we learned to use that classic clay pot. And we do the double boil. You know, you boil them, you'd spill it off. You boil them again, you spill it off, you mix it together. There's your two days of herbs, or maybe one day of herbs, depending on what the teacher had to say about that. But we've got these four different methods. And I know that later we're going to be tasting these. And so you know, I don't want to jump ahead to the cook-off yet. But I'd like to hear from you, especially because you've got a background in cooking, you've got this background in science, also use as a practitioner. What do you see as the advantages or disadvantages of each of these methods that we've got today?
Well, as you said, we don't want to jump ahead to the tasting part, but the product that you get from these four different methods is very different. In fact, one of the problems that people always complain about with Chinese herbs that they cook at home is how terrible they taste. Mm. One of my teachers said, if it tastes good, it's the wrong herb formula. And it doesn't taste like chocolate, as we all know. But you can improve the flavor profile, and you can also improve the extraction, get more out of the herbs themselves by using these different methods. And that'll come out in the tasting. People will be able to tell the difference for sure.
What is it about these different methods that brings out different things? Now, I know for myself, I think about making, say, a tomato sauce. And if I make it really quick because I'm in a hurry and I eat it, say, an hour later, you know, it's not bad, but it's not like great. Whereas if it has cooked for half a day, it's a whole different experience.
Exactly. Tomato sauce is a great example. So one of the things that happens by these various cooking methods, the longer something cooks at a moderate temperature, the more caramelization occurs of the natural sugars that are in the herbs. And that caramelization really improves the flavor. And when you look at the other methods, for instance, the pressure cooker, the pressure cooker is actually extracting things under pressure at a lower temperature than you would normally use. And it's very effective at getting the solvent, that is the water, to penetrate into the herbs and extract the ingredients that are inside. So use various methods to highlight different things. Like I said before, when you look at production in China, like someone who is making pills or tablets or extract powders, for instance, they're basically working with a pressurized system. One reason is that any volatile chemicals that are in the herbs are not going to go out with the steam. So when you boil it on the stove, one of the reasons that your apartment or your house is stinky after you're making your herbs is because a lot of the ingredient has gone up in the steam from the cooking. So that's an important consideration.
I am wondering if certain formulations would be better served with slower or maybe like this Korean thing, this percolator extractive method. So for example, let's say you want to create a kidney yin tonic. My suspicion, I just want to check this with you. My suspicion is I want to cook that slow, get this nice, thick, syrupy thing out of it. Whereas if I want to cook up something like a Shao Chai Hutang, something that might be more harmonizing, I might be looking for a different method that would make it a bit lighter and less dense. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with that. The formulas that are used to clear heat or to release the exterior usually are cooked less, and tonic herbs are almost always cooked longer. The Korean cooker there, the percolator, has on the outside of it a picture of ginseng. Mm. And it's meant to be used for ginseng, and it's meant to be extracted over a long period of time so you get as much out of it as possible. Tonic herbs tend to be more expensive, and so you want to make sure that you're getting as much out of them as you can. So slower cooking does tend to do that. I've made extracts in a slow cooker that are probably four times stronger than a regular decoction by adding less water, more herbs, and then letting them cook over low heat for hours and hours. You can get a very effective extraction that way.
When you say slow cook for hours and hours, are we talking like a day, hours and hours, or are we just talking like overnights?
Yeah, so generally, when I use a slow cooker, for instance, today we're going to be extracting Longdan Shigantan, and we're going to do that for about 3 hours. And I discovered if I'm doing a tonic formula, I can leave it overnight. And the next morning, it's going to be a really good product. So I usually cook them longer, 8, maybe 10 hours sometimes.
Do you find that the different methods stink up the house less or more?
The pressure cooker, I would say, stinks up the house the least. And the slow cooker, it's on low heat, and so you're getting less being driven off. I think the method that causes the most odor is the boiling method that we're taught in school.
Right, the one with the classic clay pot.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of compliance with your patients, do you find that one method tends to be easier for them to do and others more difficult?
Yes, with the caveat that I find most patients are not interested in dealing with loose herbs whatsoever. I think it's important that they do because I like to get my patients involved in healing, and if they're making them at home, they're taking care of themselves, or someone is taking care of them, helping them to produce the medicine. And I found that because, I won't reveal which one, but one method turns out to almost always be voted the best tasting one. And so that method is the one I usually recommend, and you'll see during the class what that is. But the compliance is greater with that method because it doesn't taste as bad.
All right. Well, we're going to find out a little later here. We're going to be talking to folks as they come in and take the class and taste these herbs, and we'll get it right from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Sky, anything else that you'd like to add at this point about herbal preparation that our listeners who are practitioners might be able to consider in using in their practices?
Well, Meiwei has been importing Chinese herbs for 50 years. And one of the things that we do is we make sure that we are getting the highest quality herbs that are available. And in my opinion, that's really important when making a medicine. You want to make sure that the herbs have been authenticated as being the right species. You want to make sure that they've been tested for microbial and heavy metal contamination, and to make sure that they're not bringing you a bunch of pesticides, some of which have been banned. So it's important to get high-quality herbs to start with. I think you get a better medicine with better quality herbs.
Always want to start with good materials.
Yes, exactly.
That's why I head to the farmer's market for cooking. Well, I am back now with the results of the big cook-off here. Originally, I thought it would be a lot of fun to have some of the people from the class discuss what they discovered in terms of the taste with these different cooking methods. For some reason, oddly enough, you put a microphone in some people's face and they just don't want to say anything. I don't know. Maybe I'm just used to having this thing in front of me. At any rate, I unfortunately was not able to capture any of the comments that people had about tasting of these herbs. And so I'm going to give you my sense of what each of these different methods was like. I'm going to start with the clay pot here, the traditional cooking method that we all learned in school. And my sense of that is it was like a solid 7.5 or 8, I'm going to call it. The flavors in it were complex. You could taste the things that were bitter. You could taste the things that were sweet. It had some body to it. And I think it's a perfectly acceptable cooking method. The pressure cooker, I found, made things kind of flat. You couldn't really taste the differences between the different flavors. It was not as good, in my opinion, at least not as nuanced as the clay pot. Now, the slow cooker, you probably already guessed, was going to be the best. And indeed, it brought out a much wider flavor profile of the different herbs that were in there. I'd put that up at about a 9. That was a really interesting brew because you could really taste the bitterness of the bitter and the things that were a little sweeter, like the Romania, it came through. You could really taste it. The percolator, I thought, might really extract the flavors of the herbs. And then I got to thinking about percolated coffee and how it was always bitter, it was always thin, it was always burnt. And I would say that that method, the percolator, while I thought it would be probably the best, it gave the least differentiation in different flavors in that herbal decoction. And so I would rate that one down at the bottom. It was flat, it was burnt, and tasteless is not the right word. It was just plain bad tasting, as far as I could tell. So number one, the slow cooker. Number two, traditional clay pot. Number three, pressure cooker. Yeah, in a pinch you could do that. And down at the bottom, the percolator. I'd recommend you don't do that one. All right, so there you have it. I hope that you found this to be helpful and that it might be of some service to your patients.